Blog Talk Radio. Some things that you just don't allow us to know in some things you do. So, Father God, I thank you for another day. I pray we do not waste it or throw it away. God, help us to live right, do right, and be right. In Jesus' name, I lift up your holy word, asking you to lead us and guide us and show us the way and give us understanding and discernment. Take over, Lord God. As we decrease, Lord God, we ask you to increase. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. Oh, Lord. Lord. Oh, Lord God. You are our strength and our redeemer. And this I lift up the word in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I'd like to present to some and introduce to others an amazing woman of God who is my co-host, my friend, my godmother, my spiritual mother, just an awesome woman of God who I can honestly say loves me. Hallelujah. Just like a daughter, and I love her just the same. So I ask you, God, give her strength, give her wisdom, give her the word. Mother Valerie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm good. I mean, the thunder and the rain sounds beautiful.
It's a symphony going on. And all I can say is last night, as we were taking all of our stuff back to the election office, you know, because they had been predicting rain all day yesterday, all day. And it didn't come. And, you know, we're kind of where I said I could look out the door and see what the weather was looking like. It was beautiful. I mean, we had people coming in their summer vests, shorts, sandals, summer dresses. You know, they was looking summer ready because it was 80 degrees yesterday. And didn't rain. As we're getting ready to leave out, I said, okay, Lord, we don't need any rain right now. We got people that's got to bring these boxes and these back and all this stuff. So, Lord, could you just hold off a little longer? And I tell you what, Mother, it did not rain until after, I'm sure, mostly everybody had gotten their things in and the election staff had gone into the building.
Wow.
The rain did not start when it was supposed to start. God held out the rain to finish this election on yesterday. And all I could say was, wow, look at you, God. You are amazing. And I am so grateful. Thank you. You've got to tell God thank you when he does all these things that he does. And I have
Amen.
To travel this morning. But you know what? I'm all right. Because guess what, Mama? My car needs washing. So I guess, God, I got you. And I'm like, okay, God, wash my car. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, we got to take it. You know, you got to look at whatever it is and take it as the blessing that it is. So I'm looking at the rain as a way to get my car washed as I go to work this morning. Hallelujah. So, Mother Valerie,
Amen.
I turn it over to you, and I'll be back with all of you in the Proverbs in Luke. Have a great day, Mother. Thank you again for yesterday. Thank you for stepping in, and woo, I don't know if any of y'all were listening, but Mother Valerie showed up. God used her in a mighty way. I heard the whole show. I couldn't say anything because I was working, but I sure could listen, and it was good. So thanking God for all of you, I turn it over to our mother. Mother Valerie, it's all yours.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God is good. He is so good. Thank you, Pastor, for your words of encouragement. She makes you want to read because she encourages you so much. A lot of times you don't really know how well you do. And I asked Miss Rita, did I do okay? And she said, oh, honey, you did fine. But to hear, you know, when two people confirm what is being said, Pastor just said I did good. So it makes you know that God is using me. And I thank God for Pastor. I'm reading Deuteronomy 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, as far as Dan, as Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Jordan, as far as the western sea, south in the plain of the valley of Jericho, city of the palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I've called you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. That's amazing. Moses didn't cross over. He saw the land, the promised land, but he didn't cross over. God didn't allow him to go into the promised land because he was disobedient. He struck the rock, and God told him to speak to it. So he disobeyed God. When you disobey God, things will happen. And so he didn't get a chance to, you know, he brought the children just so far, and he couldn't go any farther. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab. God buried Moses. God did. Opposite Beth-Hor, no one knows his grave to this day. Since God buried him, no one knows to this day where Moses was buried. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Now, I like to go to maybe 100, but I don't want to make that 20 years because everybody else I know will be gone. Everybody. That's if the Lord delays coming. I like to make the 100, but that's it. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. That means he was strong, just like he was when he was 20 years old. His eyes were not dim. He didn't have to wear glasses, folks. He didn't put on glasses. And he was strong. He could lift anything or anybody at 120 years old. Can you imagine being 120 years old and walking just like you did when you were a youth, picking up things, moving around? Oh, God, God is always good. It's just good, 120. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. There he's telling you, only cry for people that are dead. In the Bible, 30 days. It said the mourning for Moses ended, and they went on. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children heed him, did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then, there was not risen in Israel a prophet like Moses. Nobody, it says nobody, was like Moses. Moses saw God face to face. Moses was a man of God. Moses, God gave the Ten Commandments. There was not a prophet or nobody else like Moses. Whom the Lord knew face to face. All the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land, and by all that mighty power, and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Nobody. Isn't that something? There was never another prophet up until this day. That's been over 2,000 years ago. There was nobody like Moses. God didn't let him go into the promised land, and God himself buried Moses. Nobody knows exactly where he's buried. That's amazing when God said there was nobody, even Abraham, there was nobody like Moses. Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing. And in life lessons, it says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are an everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you. Can we have a better friend than one who is definitely strong and mighty, yet at the same time loving and gentle? But God tenderly loves us, protects us, yet has defeated all our spiritual enemies, including the devil. Deuteronomy 34:6. He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, but no one knows his grave to this day. It said God buried Moses in a grave. He kept secret. As great as Moses was, he was only a man. God did not want anyone to remember him as anything but a man. It said no matter how great he was, he still was a man. But God buried him. He was, you know, he was a special man because there was nobody else like Moses. But yet and still, God wants you to know that he was only a man, and God buried him. I'm reading Psalms 40:13-17. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backwards and brought to dishonor who wishes me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame, who say to me, Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love you, your salvation, say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O Lord, do not delay. Do not delay, O my God. O my God, do not delay. This is going to be a short reading today. I'm going to turn this back over in the hands of our pastor. Our pastor has been doing this for years and years. She's a great lady. And I just thank her for allowing me to read. I like to read, so I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. Amen.
Good morning again, everybody. Thanking God for this awesome woman of God who is stepping in and stepping out, and God is using her in a mighty way. So all I can say is thank you, Mother Valerie, as well. And the word that God gave me early this morning, I woke up with some carpal tunnel issues going on. You know how you get the tingling in your hand because you slept wrong. All I know is I slept really good. On Monday, I worked from 9 in the morning to 9 at night. I had a little break in there, but it was a long day, and I didn't go to bed until late because I was making sure I got all my stuff ready to take with me to the election, because you don't get to leave. You're there, and you're there from 5 in the morning until you get finished with your ballots at night. And so you take all your snacks, all your food, all your drinks, all your stuff. So I was up till late getting my stuff ready, making sure my clothes was ironed, you know, and taking a shower. So I basically took a nap. So I slept about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours maybe at the most. Then got up and went to my election. I was wore out. And so when I came home, I hit my bed like a ton of bricks. And I slept all night until early this morning. At 3:30, I believe it was, God woke me up, gave me the message for today. And it says this, something God allows us to know, and other things he doesn't. Something God allows us to know, and other things he doesn't. He allowed Moses to bring the children of Israel all the way from Egypt to just the border of the promised land. He let him know everything, all the stuff he needed to know. But then when it was time to walk in, he didn't let him know what's going to feel like, taste like to be in the promised land, because he was disobedient. And we have to be obedient to God. Mother Valerie preached this yesterday as well as today. And when she went into the Psalms, she said, you are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. And when she was reading, what came through my mind was Andrea Johnson and Donna Lawrence. And when she sang, Lord, deliver me. This is my exodus. We got to ask God to deliver us, to take us through our season of wilderness and give us, hallelujah, thank you, Mother Valerie. You bless me. Proverbs 13:13-14, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandments will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Hallelujah. And we have read the laws and the commandments. Mother has been reading to us all these laws. I mean, the Lord didn't miss anything. When he came to the laws that he was given in the commandments, he didn't miss anything. Even the fact that you can't go to the bathroom where you sleep. Come on now. Woo! I mean, down to the wire. God, don't cover up your refuge. You know, don't be, if you're unclean, don't be up there. Told you about what to do with mold and mildew. That's got to clean it. That's got to get rid of it. Does not play. Everything you need, God gives you. Everything. And when we go to Luke, Jesus lets us know, sin, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. And, you know, if Jesus gave that, God gave me some things. God allows us to know, sin, that they may not see. Okay? And other things, he doesn't. And hearing, they may not understand. I was like, wow, God, you're creative. Because God, he'll take what Jesus has a parable, God will give you another one. Some things I allow you to know, and some things I don't. So God will give you just what you need, but not much more. So let's get into this word. Come with me to Luke chapter 8. And it says, as now it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Many called Mary called Magdalene. Now I want to go back there. Let's put a pin right there. And it said, and a certain women, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven. Mary Magdalene had been possessed. And the church called her a prostitute, and she was this and that. No, she was demon possessed by seven demons. Jesus healed her of her demonic possession, and she became one of his most powerful disciples. And no one wants to call her a disciple, but she was right there with him. And what I read in some of my studies, that she was probably very wealthy. And she was one that helped Jesus financially, spiritually. She was the one, the first one, come on, y'all, the first one. Jesus when he got up. The first one that he spoke to when he rose from the dead. Mary Magdalene was the one that he spoke to.
Amen.
We got to give her our respect. So many times folks want to vilify women. Women pastors, women ministers. They shouldn't be preaching. They shouldn't this. They shouldn't do that. Jesus preached to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene preached to some of the other women and some men. Let's call it like it was. Her book has been found. But do you think anybody want to publish it? Of course not. But she's a woman. And we don't want her to outshine Peter, James, and John. Come on now.
Amen.
But it was her that Jesus saw first. It was her that came and spread the good news, was it not? Think that through. You know, seven demons. Nothing in their sins. And she was a prostitute. Because we can always say, I tell you this much, mother. The word of God is very clear on everything. There, you don't have to guess on it. It's right there. When somebody was a prostitute, it said they was a prostitute, did it not? If someone had an issue of blood, it said they had an issue of blood. If they were a leper, it said they were a leper. Come on now. And it goes on, it says, Joanna, the wife of Shuzad, her steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. There it is. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, provided for him for their substance. They helped Jesus financially. And Magdala was where Mary was from. That's why she was Mary Magdalene. Mary from Magdalene.
Amen.
And they wanted to make sure that she was vilified. When it said, what did it say? And others who provided for him from their substance. She had money, and she helped the ministry. And that's what we are supposed to do, help. And it says, and when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then his disciples asked him, said, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And as God says some things, God allows us to know, and other things he doesn't. That's what God gave me this morning. Some things I'm going to let you know, and other things you're not going to know. Just like Jesus said, seeing they may hear, seeing they may see, and hearing they may not understand. And
Amen.
He goes on to tell us, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Woo! Mother, the seed is the word of God. Right now, as you and I are speaking and preaching and teaching the word of God, we are sowing seeds. Says those by the wayside are the ones who hear the word. Again, who the seed is sown to. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. Devil comes and steals the seed. And then it goes on and says, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil does not want you to be saved. If you don't know Jesus, today is a good day. But the one on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Mother, we've seen it, have we not? Many of you who are in the church know those are folks that come. They join the church the first day that they come to church. They don't just come and visit. They come and join because that word has done something. It's hit their heart, and they are ready to receive. And it goes on to say, and there, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. They come for a little while, then you don't see them again. And then it tells us, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no root to maturity. They come, but then the world calls them back. And the next thing you know, oh, I go to church next Sunday. Next Sunday comes. Oh, girl, I'm getting over this hangover from last night. Girl, did we not party? We partied so hard. I'll go to church next time. Then you got the one that rolls over and looks in her bed and sees somebody that she don't really know because they just kind of hooked up last night. And she's like, well, Lord, I can't go to church today because God knows I was spending last night. And I don't want nobody looking at me funny. Because God knows that I'll ask God forgive me, and then I just have to go to church next Sunday. Next Sunday comes, the Sunday after, and they are not there. Because then the devil's got his hooks in them and saying, you're not worthy, you don't need to go back to church. They don't need to see you because they know you were sinning. Because you know the pastor know you was in the club. The pastor know that you smoking them cigarettes. The pastor know that you smoking loud. The pastor know that you fornicating and fooling around. You don't need to go to church. You can watch it right here. See, DDJ, you know, girl, he's showing out. Stay here and watch TV. Just stay here. Joe Osteen is on going to call. Girl, watch Joe. You don't need to go to church. You going to church right here, though. And before you know it, years have passed before you step foot in the house of God. But then there are those who, praise the Lord, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who haven't heard. Come on, y'all, say it with me. Having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit. Okay. I will tell you now, no church is perfect. None. None of us are perfect. No church is perfect. But when you love God, you move through it. You move through the hard times. You move through the good times. You move through the ugly times. You move through it. Because you know that word is planted in your heart. And all it's going to do with patience, as long as you keep watering it, keep reading it, keep studying it, it will grow into a ministry. It will grow into whatever it is God has for you. Tell you, you don't need to go to church. Don't let the devil tell you, you don't need to send your children to church. You don't need to send them. You need to take them. And I'm speaking from experience because I was one of those folks. No, I wasn't fornicating. You know, well, I was having a good time with my husband. But regardless of that, you know, and my husband and I, we both were in the Word. But we had that moment where we allowed the enemy to snatch it away. To snatch away that camaraderie that comes from being in the house of God. Oh, I can teach. I read this myself. We got degrees. We don't have to be in there. If, you know, nobody appreciates what we got to say now, but we don't remember that. All that foolishness. I don't like the way they treat children. So I'm not going. I'm not taking my children there for Father's sake to talk to them in your kind of way. Mm-mm. I don't need to be in the church. I'll be a hypocrite. Who was the hypocrite? You were. I admit it. I was a hypocrite. Talking all like I was just the everything, the peanut butter and the jelly. And we were wrong. We were wrong. And I remember the first day when I came back my testimony. This woman kept bugging me at work. She said, you are a Christian. It's all over you. You know God. Why don't you go to church?
My Lord.
Just don't. I was like, I just don't. She said, will you come and visit my church? Will you please come visit my church? And so finally I said, okay, I will come and visit your church. And a shout out to Jessica Pickett, who invited me to church. And I went. And I felt the presence of God when I walked through the door. I was overwhelmed by the warmth that I felt from his spirit. And I knew that that was what I had been missing for so long. You know, you have an empty place in your heart, especially when you have grown up in the church. You have been a member. You have worked for God's kingdom from the time you were a child, and then you allow yourself to be snatched away. You allow the enemy to plant thorns and weeds in your spirit that you don't think you need to be in the house of God with others. From that Sunday on, I was in the house of God, but I still was messing up because I should have been bringing my sons with me. Instead, they were staying home with Dad watching the game. And I was that one foot in, one foot out still. I was coming. But I was like, I'll go at 9 o'clock. Went to the early service, 9 o'clock. Now, this is a person, me, that don't like getting up until I have to. But I went to the 9 o'clock service, so I'll be done by 11. And at 11, I could go home and be with my fellas and watch the game. You know, the Bears was playing. And I saw them. The Cubs was playing. I'm trying to be here all day in church. But God is a good God. Some things he lets you know and some things he won't. Some things he allows you to do and some things he don't. Because he was calling me back to him, my first love. And the next thing you know, I volunteered for Vacation Bible School. And the next thing I found myself doing is teaching children's church.
Amen.
And I'm like, how did I get here? I went to church at 9 o'clock, children's church at 11. Didn't get home until 1 o'clock. The game was almost over. Got me going and staying in church all day. And she's still doing it, still easing in with a little self. Pastor Bridget, can't you? Pastor Shell, if you listen, you know I'm talking about you. You know, this woman, the director of the youth department, and she's still director of the youth department at the church we currently attend. So we are in. That's her calling, is the director of youth. My calling is the pastor of youth. To teach them the word and spiritually guide them, which is what I did. And I've been doing it for almost 20 years. She and I have been working together for almost 20 years when God called me back 20 years ago. It took God using this woman who God kept putting on her heart. That's the one. And when I signed up to be a volunteer, the next thing I know, it was teaching. Because that's what God had been training me for since I was young. And all I can say is thank you to Pastor Michelle for listening to the voice of God. Just like God told me to give this hand to Mother Valerie for him to use her. And he's going to use her in a mighty way. We got to know that word has got to get in our hearts. It's got to grow, and we got to be patient. Because no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, sets it on the lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. Hallelujah. But not that it's secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed. Hear you how you hear. For whoever has more will be given. And whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Don't let the sneaky snake slide in and steal the word from you. Then his mother and brother came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And now you have those folks out there who prophesy and preach lies, who will tell folks, well, you know, Mary was a virgin, and she had Jesus, and all those other kids, James and John and Joseph and all of them, they were his stepbrothers. Don't say any word in the word that they were mother's children. His father, Joseph's son. It didn't say that. I think it says, my mother and my brothers. Joseph's son. Because everything in the word of God, when it comes to genealogy, is spelled out. It's my right mother.
Amen.
It's spelled out. Who belongs to whom? Does it not? But it says,
amen,
your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. Didn't say your half-brothers. Then say your daddy's son. Because when you talk about Reuben, and they'll say their sons of Abraham. But they don't say their sons of Rebecca, do they? They say
no.
Joseph, and they tell you who they belong to. Leah's children. Children. These are Rachel's sons. These are such and such a sons. These belong to whom? Everybody is genealogy spelled out. Mary and my mother and my brothers, is that what he said, are these who hear the word of God and do it. We are his mother. We are his brothers. We are his family. And he said how it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a wind, come on, we got it going on right now. Tornadoes all over the place. And the windstorm came down on the lake. And they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. He arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, can this be? Commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. He is Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our friend. He is our brother. He is our family. Hallelujah. And what the Bible says, that the world would know him, that the world would know him. In Luke chapter 8, verse 16, these three questions are eternally significant. Who is God? What is he like? Can we know him? The world is filled with religions and claims to give the answer to these questions. However, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the truth. God is our Father. He is loving, and he is the most certainly knowledgeable through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That is why you are told in Luke 8 and 16, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. You have come to know the light of the world, Jesus Christ. You cannot hide that you know him. Rather, you must allow his light to shine through you so that they can also have his light, so they can also accept the salvation he offers. Oh, praise the Lord. This is what God wants most for your life, that you would come to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you would daily grow in your walk with him, that you would live out the pain, the plan he has for your life, and that you would tell others about the great gift of salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Those women that you sent into my life who brought me back to you. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Michelle, who heard your voice and invited me to come back to my first love of teaching your word. Thank you, Lord, for my pastor who pours into me, who is training me, who is leading me, who is guiding me, who is helping me be a better minister. Thank you, Lord, for this woman of God, Mother Valerie, Mother Rita, Sister Carolyn, who have become my family. I thank you for my family. Thank you for my mother, who travels with me, who is there for me, who I can call and say, Mom, I need you to come. I'm coming to get you. And she gets ready, and she's ready to go on time. I have to give you that one. My mom is always on time. So I thank God for the women in my life. I thank God for my children. I thank God for my daughter and my grandchildren. I thank God for the adoption. I thank God for my baby granddaughter. I'm finished, you know, I call her my baby granddaughter, who told me she loved me. And then she was glad that I was her spiritual grandmother, her grandmother in every way. And I am appreciative of the gifts that God has given me. I would not have my grandchildren had I not listened to the voice of God and started back in children's ministry. I'm grateful. Very grateful and very filled up. Because the word is in my heart. And it's blossoming and it's growing. And it's covering more and more children to bring them to salvation. All I can say is thank you, Lord God. The desire of God's heart is that all people would know him. As 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4 tells us, God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Christ died for the sins of everyone in this world, and he desires that everyone be rescued from the grip of sin. God's provision of forgiveness of sins and of eternal life in heaven is offered to every person on earth. God didn't create anyone to be lost for all eternity. Though some will choose to be lost through their own stubborn will. John chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. For this reason, to share the gospel. This blog is heard all over the world, and I can only say, thank you, Lord, that someone may come upon and say, what is this moving forward with Minister Bridget? Let me check it out. And I thank God that someone may have been saved from his word. Since before Jesus left the earth to sit at the right hand of the Father, he left us with a powerful commandment. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. We call it the Great Commission. It's his desire that we spread his gospel across the world until every living soul has heard it. God will enable and empower each of us to witness for him through his Holy Spirit, that we have the incredible opportunity to tell others about the desire of God's heart, that they would know him and grow in him. So don't hide the light that is in you. Share it with the lost world that needs it so desperately. Tell them who God is, what he is like, and how we can know him. Truly, those will be the best questions you answer all day. Whew, Mother Valerie, it has been a great word this morning.
Amen.
Before we get out of here, we got a couple of words from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn.
Amen.
Carolyn is a blessing from God. You know, every time she sends a word, she don't have a clue what we're teaching about, what we're preaching about, or anything. And God gives a word sometimes early in the morning. Yesterday, she got the word at 4:12 in the morning. And it was this, God's good morning. Man's opinion doesn't stand against God's decision for your life. Have a terrific Tuesday. Moses wanted to go into the promised land. But that was not God's decision. That was not what God wanted for him. God said, I'm going to let you see it. But you can't go in. It's like I didn't let Aaron go forward. I can't let you go forward because you were both disobedient. And because you were leaders, God, when you are a leader, God will hold you more accountable. And you want to say, but there was other folks besides me. But Joshua and Caleb weren't disobedient. Joshua and Caleb did what they were told. Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. Joshua and Caleb said, hey, we can do this thing because God is with us. But Moses got sick and tired of being sick and tired of stubborn folks not wanting to listen, not wanting to do right, not wanting to be right, that he knocked. He hit that rock with everything in him because he was frustrated. He was sick of them. Whining and complaining every day. You think about it, 40 years you with these people. Whining and complaining, calling out. They want to listen to the leadership because they want to do what they want to do.
Amen.
And you get that rock. Great not to water came out. Everything happened because the first time they needed water, he did hit the rock because that was what he was commanded to do. The second time, all he had to do was say, water. And the rock would have opened and water would have poured out. And God would have got the glory. We can't do what we want to do. We got to do what God tells us to do. We got to trust God. He's going to give you what you need. But he's not going to give you everything at once. And this is what Sister Carolyn wrote us for this morning. When you put your trust in Jesus, come on now. What did he say? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He will make everything all right. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Again, all up in the lesson. Didn't even know it, but God gave it to her. That's why I always know, and I will tell you this. Sister Carolyn is anointed with a gift from God. That's why it's called Carolyn's gift, because she knows what God. And I know this is in the spiritual wind, because we just saw it ourselves. We just read it ourselves. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calmness. But he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith to trust me? Where is your faith that I will come through? Where is your faith to trust in God? Hallelujah. We've got to trust God. Some things God allows us to know, and other things he doesn't. We have a prayer this morning, and again, trust in God. You know, from our prayer book, our 365 days of prayer. And I'm going to tell you, it has been a blessing. And the word that God gave us on yesterday was source of hope. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, NLT. God, my source in you is all I need. When life requires more than I have to give, I feel the trickle of my sword of hope draining. It's plenty. I come to drink today of your goodness. I need to be filled up like a vessel that is running low. I stand under the waters of your love and am filled once again. The presence of your spirit fills me with the peace I long for, peace that is my sense of home. Your joy infuses my heart with life, a life I need. When you fill me, there isn't just enough to top me off. You don't ration your love. May I overflow with a hope that is confident in your strong love to carry out every promise you have ever spoken. I don't conjure up hope out of thin air. Wishing thinking gets me nowhere, but you, Lord, are a living hope giver, filling me with tangible confidence that comes from your spirit. Thank you for the power of your presence that operates out of the abundance of your incredible character. What are you hoping for today? Whew, hallelujah. And a word for this morning, desiring humility. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4, ESV. Lord, when I seek you with all my heart, I will find you. You are not hiding in an obscure part of the earth. I don't have to go on a pilgrimage to find you. I find you right here in the middle of my joy and my mess. The life I long for is not to be found in the next thing. I won't find satisfaction in the nostalgic memories of my past. Come on now. Rest here where I will find what I long for in the working out of my faith in the nitty-gritty parts of life. I choose you today, Lord. I humble myself before you, laying down my longings and ambitions at the feet of your mercy, knowing that you alone are the one who can satisfy me. As I go about my day with you in mind, I know I will find you in places I wouldn't think to look. Twice on my own, I offer myself to you in every moment. May my mind continually turn to you today. And it goes on to ask us, what does submission to God and humility look like to you? That's a question that only you can answer. And it's between you and God. And as Sister Carolyn tells us this morning, as we get ready to wrap up, when you put your trust in Jesus, he will make everything all right. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. Your Mother Valerie, thank you all for listening in. And as we wrap up, we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day today. And again, have a wonderful Wednesday. When you put your trust in Jesus, he will make everything all right. And before we go, a little housekeeping for tomorrow. Mother Valerie and I are flipping. I will be doing the Old Testament, and Mother will be doing the New Testament. And the reason why is because we're going into the book of Joshua. And all of y'all know, we've been listening for years now, I have a Joshua crush. And I can't let anybody read Joshua but me. So I can't share Joshua. I love Joshua too much. So anyway, I will be doing Old Testament, and Mother Valerie will be doing New Testament. So we thank God for the book of Joshua, and we thank God for this awesome woman of God. So we have to make you smile. So we will be back tomorrow in the book of Joshua. Woo! And I'm all excited. I feel like a new bride going to meet her groom. Come on now. So anyway, Amen. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Mother Valerie, what is it? I think it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It is a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.